from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Football writer for CBS Sports on X at David W. Cobb. David, how's it going, brother?
Man, happy game week, Gabe. It's not quite the real thing, but it's close enough. Week zero is finally upon us.
Yeah, I saw like a meme out there, and somebody, it was a guy saying, thank you for saving my life. And somebody in week zero, there's like a picture of all the games, and it just says, I'm just week zero. You have Delta, who is Delaware State versus Hawaii, Florida State versus Georgia Tech, Montana State versus New Mexico, SMU on the road against Nevada. Do you have any betting advice? Let me start there. Do you have any betting advice to start for week zero? Because honestly, I hate to be this guy, but when week zero hits, I just sort of bet on everything that's out there. Make spur of the moment decisions.
Yeah, that's what week zero is for, actually. Yes. That's why they have it. Yeah, the books love it, I'm sure. But no, I was a little surprised to see Florida State favored by 11.5 over Georgia Tech in Ireland. I mean, this is a decent Georgia Tech team, made a bowl last year. Florida State's got some questions to answer. You're going and playing in some, you know, probably some rugby field or whatever that maybe doesn't have the best turf. I don't know. It's the time zone thing. It's just hard for me to see Florida State going out there game one with DJU and seeing them put up 35 or 38 or 40 plus points. You know what I mean? So I guess I would tend to lean towards the Georgia Tech side of an 11.5 point spread there, but I don't have any major conviction about the week zero slate.
You know who my biggest, like my favorite bet, and this is kind of sad that this is my favorite bet because it's a 27.5 point spread. I like SMU on the road against Nevada. They're a bad team, and they just named Brendan Lewis, who's the former quarterback at Colorado before Dion got there. He's their quarterback as of today. And the last time we saw him, two touchdowns and six interceptions, a QBR of 33.3 in the Pac-12 for a 1-11 Colorado team.
Well, and Rhett Lashley likes to run up the score. He likes to juice the metrics. He likes to trick everybody into thinking that his team is really something special.
Yeah,
he tried to play that way last year to get SMU the G5's New Year's Six bid. Ended up getting beat out by Liberty for that. But if you go back and look, I mean, they never let off the gas pedal at SMU. So I'm with you there. There's some smart wisdom in taking SMU against that spread. And, I mean, heck, why stop there, Gabe? Let's look at Delaware State, Hawaii.
Oh, gosh.
Which is at midnight Eastern. You'll have to have a
38.5 point spread for Hawaii? I don't know about that one.
Here's where doing what I do gives me some insight, Gabe. Because you remember a couple weeks ago, when my best team in every state article dropped. You remember that?
Yeah, sure. Sure do.
Okay, right. Yeah, so I don't just do team or states that have power conference teams or just states that have FBS teams. I do every state that has Division I college football, even if that's only FCS.
Like Montana, it's like you don't have we don't have FBS to pick from. I get it.
Well, right, and so I got so deep into FCS football for that article that I have discovered and learned that Delaware State is maybe the worst FCS team there is. And now you got a Hawaii team on their home field.
Hungry.
Delaware State's flying across the ocean to play a game that's going to be starting at midnight on their body clock. I mean, there's no way they're going to be asleep in the second half. There's no way they can cover a 38.5-point spread there.
And Braden Shager, quarterback for Hawaii, is a dog, isn't he? Absolute dog.
Okay, Gabe, in the last 5 minutes, because we've gotten off on this tangent about week zero, I've literally talked myself into, like, three bets now that I'm going to go and that I'm going to run with. So thank you for helping open my eyes here.
Yeah, Florida State, though, because this is the game of the week. Game of the weekend, ESPN, 11 a.m. in Dublin at Aviva Stadium. Florida State, what do you think about the difference in experience and, like, what this is going to look like for Mike Norvell's offense going from Jordan Travis to DJU? I understand, like, you know, different skill sets. DJU certainly still has the legs, but it's not as fast. It's a little more lumbering. Like, how do we expect this to be different, and how do we expect this to go? Or, like, it's hard for me to imagine them being as high powered as last year, but I still imagine they'll be a really good offense.
I really don't know. Those two quarterbacks are so much different than each other, because, as you mentioned, Jordan Travis was the elusive, limber, probably ran what, a 4.6 or something,
right?
You know, pretty quick. DJU, I doubt he's clocking below 4.9. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's 4.8. I'm not sure. But there's a difference there for sure. He's a reluctant runner. He doesn't like to do it. He doesn't prefer to do it. They don't have Keon Coleman out there making ridiculous Randy Moss-type one-handed catches anymore. So is this a team that can rely on the run game? I mean, over the years, there's been a lot of questions about Florida's offensive line, but I think they should be pretty good.
Yeah, they should be really good
up there this year. And so this, to me, seems more of a run the football, let's just pound the rock sort of team, because you know they're still going to be pretty salty defensively, or at least good enough to win games that way. So that's kind of what I would expect. I mean, I don't know if the over 55.5 in Florida State, Georgia Tech, and a game played in Ireland really makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, I look at the under there, and I think if I had to guess one way or the other, I think this Florida State team is going to be more of a physical, grinded-out type of team than maybe what we're used to seeing from Mike Norvell, because I just can't wrap my mind around DJU being the leader of a prolific offense. And so that's
right.
Kind of where I'm at with them. I mean, I know, obviously, like, he's had his moments. He's got great arm strength, but I don't know that I see a Florida State team quarterback by DJU going out there and putting up 35 points a game in the ACC.
I'm imagining a lot of running the ball with that offensive line. Lawrence Toafili, one of their running backs. You're going to have Roydell Williams as another running back. And this is something I was off the air sort of talking with Jeffrey Wright about this. I'm imagining some, like, midline veer option concepts where you're running power football with DJU right up the middle, because I've seen the way that Mike Norvell adjusts. I'd imagine he's still going to try to use DJU's legs with the ability his offensive line has returning most of their guys. Like, see him using the legs more than they've been used at Clemson and Oregon State.
Right. I'm going back in time in my mind and trying to remember Mike Norvell with a quarterback like DJU, and I'm struggling to I'm struggling to pinpoint it, like, because I guess at Memphis he had Riley Ferguson, and then did he have pretty much
Brady White to Brady White?
That's right. And so, yeah, neither of those guys were nearly the sort of physical presence that DJU is. So it opens up that door, but then how much do you want to run your stud QB? I mean, we saw Brock Glenn play a little bit last year, and it wasn't the most encouraging debut. I'm assuming he's still there, their backup. right? The Laws and kid, right? I don't know that you want to run DJU more than 5 or 10 times a game because, I mean, Brock Glenn kind of seems like a guy who might still need another year before he's really ready to go.
The thing that, and this is why I'm glad you bring up, like, have we seen a quarterback with Mike Norvell that even resembles DJU? Not really. I mean, and also it's hard to find a quarterback like that, former 5-star, 6'6", 250 pounds, that can use his legs, has a rocket front arm. Like, that doesn't just grow on trees. But one thing that always does save me with Mike Norvell is he has adjusted to every quarterback he's had. Riley, completely different skill set than Brady White. Brady White, completely different skill set than Jordan Travis. Jordan Travis now to DJU. He makes adjustments. He makes adjustments based on his personnel, where a lot of coaches around the country get caught not doing that.
Well, and that's what he's going to have to do this year. So it's a test. It's a test of Mike Norvell's coaching ability because he's built Florida State into this team that won the ACC and was 13-0 and should have been in the playoff. Like, he's built it to that. Now, can you flip over key parts of your roster and sustain? I'm not saying you got to go 13-0, obviously, but can you win 10 games or more again on what's supposed to be a rebuilding year? Because that's sort of the hallmark of a strong, stable, championship-caliber program, is that even on the down years or even on the years when you got 7 or 8 draft picks to replace, you're still there in the hunt for a conference title. And in this era, you're still there in the hunt for a college football playoff appearance. I'm a little bit, I've got my questions, right? Like, we're about to submit our college football playoff predictions for CBS. And I've kind of gone back and forth on whether or not I see Florida State as a playoff team. You've got a critical, important game in week 0. I mean, this is no joke. Georgia Tech is a bowl team from a year ago. They are legit. You mess around in that game and you lose it. So, I don't know, it's a big spot. Big spot week 0 for the Noles who have a lot of questions to answer. And, in some ways, maybe it benefits them that Georgia Tech's not going to have any idea, necessarily what direction they're going. Unless, of course, they've had some sort of Connor Stallions type figure out there at FSU practice.
Yeah, I think they've had to steer clear of that, though. NCAA's been hot on pursuit of people that do that. Now, speaking, let's stay on the quarterback conversation, but I want to go into the group of five. Boise State over the weekend, I'm sure you saw this, they named Maddox Madsen, who started the year last year for them, played against Memphis, 11 for 14, had 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, so he's solid. I think he had 9 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, all said before he got hurt. But he beat out USC transfer Malachi Nelson, who was the #1 recruit according to ESPN in the 2023 class. But he beat him out for the quarterback one job. How should we view this? I mean, is Malachi Nelson, as the kids say, mid? I mean, what's next for him?
I think if you're a Memphis fan, I think this is great news.
Yes, I agree. Fully agree.
Because a lot of these predictions, including my own, that have had Boise as the group of five playoff team, have been based around the fact that they've got a former 5-star quarterback there in Malachi Nelson. Well, that guy gets beat out in preseason practice by a very mediocre sort of player there in Maddox Madsen. I think that's a great sign if you're one of these other group of five teams that's trying to get that playoff spot, because it tells you that Boise might not be as dynamic or explosive offensively as we've been assuming they will be. So, kind of a shocker there. That's an upset, man. I mean, when the day Malachi Nelson said he was going to transfer to Boise State, I would have put the odds at -800 that he would be their game 1 starter. And, that's not going to be the case. And so I think that lessens the ceiling for Boise State.
Great.
And I still think Boise State's got a high floor. They're going to be as good or better than anybody in the Mountain West, even with this guy, Maddox Madsen, that quarterback. But I don't think they've got the elite ceiling that maybe a lot of us assumed, unless Maddox Madsen has taken major, major strides.
Right.
There's
sort of two ways you could view it. You could view it as, okay, Maddox Madsen was just undeniable. He's that good, and he made all those strides. But I think more of the people around the country are viewing this as Malachi Nelson, maybe not be what we thought he was. He was supposed to be the heir apparent to Caleb Williams. That didn't work out. Miller Moss took that title from him. He ends up transferring, learning 2 offenses in 2 different years. That's tough to do, especially as a young guy, as a young pup. But I think I view this through the lens of Malachi Nelson just wasn't what he was tabbed to be.
That's kind of what it comes down to. Because you think Lincoln Riley would have let him get away if he was good enough to
Absolutely
be not. The replacement for Caleb Williams, right? So he's not making – there's no way he's making as much money at Boise as he was at USC, but he left in search of playing time, and now he's not going to get that unless there's an injury or unless something really changes early on. And, hey, look, maybe it's as simple as they got to go to Oregon in week two. They don't want a redshirt freshman starting in that environment. They're going to let Maddox Madison have the first crack at it, and then eventually Malachi Nelson gets his shot. Maybe that's what this is. But there's been nothing that Spencer Danielson has said or no indications from Boise that this is just some ploy to just ease Malachi Nelson in. I think that this is legitimately a case where he got beat out for the job. And that has to reframe the way you think about that G5 playoff race. And so, I think if you're a Memphis fan, it's you should be kind of smiling a little bit about the fact that Boise doesn't quite have what they thought they had there at QB.
Yeah, and Lincoln Riley was recruiting right over him by the end of it. That's why he ended up leaving. Juju Lewis, who I think he started his high school season. That's a guy that's supposed to be the next guy in line at USC after Miller Moss, if Miller Moss is really what he's tabbed to be. So he recruited right over him, even in the midst of getting him on campus, the whole thing. He must have seen something very early, which is definitely concerning.
Without a doubt. So, yeah, it's interesting. Where does Malachi Nelson's career kind of go from here? Because you're on school number two. You've already transferred down. You still haven't won the job. The guy who just won the job is still pretty young himself. So, what's his next move? That this is a former highly touted QB, and I mean, typically guys who are top 10 caliber quarterbacks in their class, they're going to get a chance to start
sure.
by their second or third year, regardless of where they are. That's not going to be the case with Malachi Nelson. So, where does he end up? I don't know. It's usually QBs are the position where it's pretty easy to scout. You don't want to see a whole lot of guys with that highly touted billing who don't pan out, but it kind of seems like Malachi Nelson's teetering on the brink there, and has got to kind of find a way to resurrect, what everybody thought he was going to be.
So this brought me back, because I think your point about Boise State and, like, Memphis should feel good about Maddox Madsen starting, you feel like Boise State's maybe less of a threat. But it brought me back to, like, the group of five ranks. Like, who else can we throw in that bucket? Like, because we really have talked about Liberty, Boise State, Memphis. Those have been the three teams that we have just tabbed as, okay, these are the teams we're going to be picking from. And I know that Tulane and UTSA could potentially be there. USF, sort of a dark horse. Like, who else is a team that, like, should legitimately be in that conversation? I think one that has been brought up by, I think Dennis Dodd brought this up, one of your colleagues at CBS Sports, Texas State, maybe? Is that another team we can look at? Jordan McLeod taking over at quarterback after a really good year at James Madison.
Yeah, so Texas State kind of feels like South Florida light to
me.
They're early in the tenure of a really promising young offensive-minded head coach there with G.J. Kenny, much like South Florida has, Alex Golesh. They both have great quarterbacks, exciting systems. But I don't look at Texas State as being on the level of a South Florida just in terms of resources, in terms of the ability to go out and get players being there, Texas State is interesting. I think they're a program that's on the up, but I don't view them as a legitimate contender to get the G5 playoff spot. Let's not forget about programs, though, like App State.
Right.
Sean Clark hasn't been as prolific of a winner as Scott Satterfield was there. He's not as great as Eli Drinkwitz was there in his one season as the head coach. But that is a rock-solid, steady program, big-time QB coming back. I mean, they're going to have a chance. They play Liberty. So Liberty's one non-conference game of any significance is against Appalachian State. So if Appalachian State has one loss or is undefeated and then beats Liberty, they could sneak into that mix. And then I'll give you one more. Don't forget about Tulane.
Yeah.
Obviously, they are rebooting under John Summerall. They lost Willie Fritz. But they could still be pretty good. They brought in some serious players via the portal. John Summerall is a great defensive coach, and now if Ty Thompson can be close to what he was thought to be as a prospect when he went to Oregon at quarterback, then he could keep Tulane from really falling off a whole lot at all. So I think Tulane's kind of gotten pushed out of the conversation because nobody wants to, you know, put their money on a first-year head coach in a new program. But, you know, let's not totally write them off either.
Who is the best conference, top to bottom, in the group of five ranks this year? Because I know, like, the AAC has always gotten the benefit of the doubt in these conversations. But I mean, I look top to bottom. I'm not there anymore. You just can't do it. When you have Rice and North Texas and all these different programs that are just trying to Temple, UAB's no good anymore, FAU, like, you just can't really put them in that conversation. Like, is it the Mountain West? Would you go Mountain West, top to bottom, best group of five conference?
I mean, that's tough. You got Boise. Air Force is always strong. Shout out Barry Odom. I mean, yep, UNLV is going to be, you know, they
San Diego State now, new coach.
Sean Lewis. Yeah, what does he do? Like, that's, I guess those would be my questions. Because think about the Mountain West. You've already got a lot of coaching turnover in that league, and the season hasn't even started. Blake Anderson gets pushed out at Utah State over the summer. San Diego State has a first-year coach. Jeff Tedford had to resign at Fresno State due to health reasons. You know, the season hasn't even started, and you've already got coaching situations, you know. So I don't know. I'm a little lukewarm on the Mountain West top to bottom, you know, if that's sort of the criteria.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, maybe go and look at the Sun Belt. Not only do you have App, but Marshall's like a historically strong program that you know, can sneak up and win 9 or 10 games. And Coastal, obviously, they don't have Jamie Chadwell there anymore, but, you know, they're sort of an interesting program. And then you mentioned Texas State has emerged as a team to watch in that league. So I don't know. I mean, I would put the Sun Belt up there in terms of top to bottom.
And then Troy, we'll see how they do without John Sumrall. They've been really good.
Right.
Louisiana, I know that the Billy Napier experience, once he left, it's gone a little bit downhill, but they're still sneaky at times.
Go
ahead.
Well, we want to get Sun Belt sicko here. I'm not by any means saying that, you know, Butch Jones is making some crazy, you know, coaching comeback. But they do have a really interesting sophomore quarterback, Jalen Rayner, there, the type of dynamic. Okay, you remember when Tennessee was pretty much hot garbage and then Butch Jones finally got around to playing Josh Dobbs?
Yes.
And then suddenly Tennessee looked better. They sort of have that same phenomenon going on at Arkansas State right now with Jalen Rayner, who's, you know, he could make Arkansas State interesting. I'm not saying they're going to make the playoff, but the Red Wolves, they might be more competent this year than they have been in a long time.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. They were a little better last year, though, right?
They did, yeah. They finally started playing that quarterback, you know? It's like, it always amazes me how a dynamic quarterback can make up for so many other issues that you have as a team. And if it's offensive line or if it's just your running game in general, you get a QB out there with a little wiggle to him and all of a sudden, totally changes your offense.
It's always amazing how long it takes for a coach to pull the trigger on putting that guy in full time too.
I know.
Butch has a history of it though.
Brother, let me tell you real quick. I'm sorry you brought it up.
Get into it.
So I was covering Tennessee during Butch's early days, and so he had Justin Worley, he had Nathan Peterman, Riley Ferguson, and Josh Dobbs. Dobbs was not even on the travel squad as a freshman. So he starts out with Worley. Then he goes to Peterman, who ended up playing in the NFL.
Right.
And then he eventually ended up on Dobbs. And, well, you know, it turns out all three of the other quarterbacks were better than Justin Worley, which is the guy he went with initially.
That's like, if we're talking about college football quarterback rooms, you had Nathan Peterman, who's an NFL player, not a good one, but an NFL player. Josh Dobbs, who continues to be a good backup in the NFL. And Riley Ferguson, who put up numbers at Memphis. That's a pretty good college football quarterback room that he got nothing seemingly out of.
He made so many confounding decisions in that race. The one that I will never forget is choosing to start Nathan Peterman as a redshirt freshman, his first ever start on the road against a top 15 Florida team. I mean, you know, of course, it was awful. It went terribly. What would you expect? The guy's never started a game before.
Yeah.
And now you're going to throw him out there in the swamp? You know, that was one of those things for me where it was like, I just don't know if this guy has the awareness that you need to.
But I'm sure, he looked great in practice this week. He was really, he really came into his own. He was studying. He studied the most film when we logged the hours.
Right.
He had his excuses.
That's what it was. They charted every throw. I remember him saying this. They charted every throw in practice. And so they decided that since Nathan Peterman had done the best on all the throws that they charted in practice, that, he's ready to go to Florida and start in the swamp. And, you know, it just it was one of the worst quarterback performances, you know, you've ever seen. And you don't, I don't even necessarily blame Nathan Peterman for that. But to leave and go somewhere else to get to a place where he could restore his confidence after the way it was just shattered because his coach put him in a position to fail, you know, so early in his career.
Yeah, well, you get what you get, you know, when you make decisions like that. And we know that Butch didn't work out at Tennessee. We'll see if he can make something happen at Arkansas State, though. I know you have them as a sleeper, super sleeper, but I don't expect huge things out of Arkansas State. Maybe a bowl game. I could see a bowl game this year, though. Why not?
We'll have to do a little Arkansas State side bet then.
Yeah. I don't know if I'll go over win total, but we'll see if there's something that's acceptable in there for me to actually put money on. And then after that, I may have to call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. But, David, I appreciate it, man.
Oh, man, thank you. I'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. We'll talk to David on Wednesday. But that's David Cobb, college football, college basketball writer for CBS Sports on X at David W. Cobb. He's brought to you by Oxbow, family-owned and operated retail store that's been making waves in Memphis for over a decade. Conveniently located right off Poplar. You drive Poplar every day, but they're off Poplar on June Road behind the Amoco Station. You see that storefront, go to that storefront. 964 June Road, to be exact. Two stories, top floor, you're going to have all the hunting and outdoor essentials. You have the guns, you have all the outdoor equipment you could possibly need. But on that bottom floor, gift-giving destination of the city of Memphis. You can get a gift for yourself or get a gift for somebody else. But they have soaps and deodorant, and they have cheese dip. They have everything you could possibly need, but the clothing is what I want to pay attention to here. They have the best brands, Gentile, Free Fly, Fair Harbor, Duckhead, Mizzen, and Maine. They have polos, they have button-downs, they have vintage tees for you and some good brands. So make sure you get over there. And they have your favorite teams, Grizzlies, Tigers, all your SEC favorites, Alabama, Arkansas, Tennessee, Ole Miss, you name it, they have it. And 964 June Road. But they also have sports memorabilia, a good trading card selection. They have vintage vinyl. They have all your gear that will take you to the Grove or Tiger Lane. If you're a big tailgater, cups, coolers, koozies, tumblers, get over to 964 June Road. Take advantage of their vast selection of everything. And then you can go online as well. Take advantage of that selection. ShopOxbow.com is where you can find them online. Again, ShopOxbow.com. And make sure that you use my promo code when you get there. The Gabe Show, all caps, no spaces, The Gabe Show. You'll get 20% off your online order at ShopOxbow.com. But whether you're going online or in-store to 964 June Road, remember to shop local. Shop Oxbow. Now, we're going to have more of The Gabe Kuhn Show coming up right after this break, right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. Tough story coming out of Boston about a former NFL player who's now 40 years old. But he's a former NFL offensive lineman and a Boston College football star. He was flying from Boston to Dublin on a Delta Airlines flight. Gazdar Chereles, 40 years old, lives in Wakefield, Massachusetts now. He pled not guilty to interfering with operation of an aircraft and disorderly conduct and resisting arrest at his arraignment today in East Boston District Court. He was released on $2,500 bail. But what he's accused of is Massachusetts State Police had to intervene when Chereles was on Delta Flight 154 from Boston to Dublin. He apparently peed on a woman that was sitting next to him. And I can imagine where that would be terrifying for the woman. I can tell you that off top. This guy is 6'7". He was 315 pounds during his playing career. Obviously, he's lost some weight. But a 6'7" man who's clearly out of his head turning to you and urinating on you is a terrifying sight. But they turned the flight around, got him off the flight, arrested him, and then took back off and went to Dublin. He ended up going to Twitter to apologize and basically said, I'm not going to read the whole statement, but he said he'd like to address the media reports about him that surfaced regarding a situation that occurred on the flight. He said the flight was unexpectedly delayed for 4 hours, did not take off, in preparation for the unexpected overnight flight, he took a sleeping medication he doesn't normally use, and it resulted in unruly behavior. I think this is a situation, obviously, just can't be explained away. He's going to have to do some probation or something for this. He's going to have to deal with the punishment of the law. But sounds like this is a situation where he took a sleeping medication, maybe mixed it with alcohol, lost his head, doesn't remember the whole thing, and got arrested. Tough situation for Gossett Chairless.
Yeah.
And then, tough situation for the woman aboard the flight. That's a terrifying situation. It really is.
Well, and it was,
I know people can make light of it and laugh of it. You're peeing on someone. It just sounds nuts.
It was an elderly woman, too.
But it's an elderly woman with a 6-7 foot man turning to her.
He also hit another passenger and then took another passenger seat before passing out. So it seems like it was just a series of unfortunate events for him. To be honest, the sleeping pill stuff, sleeping medication, I don't know. Maybe don't take sleeping medication that you're not used to if you're going to be on public on a flight.
Yeah, and also, you know, don't take too much of it, probably one. And then also, if you are mixing it with alcohol, that's a deadly mistake.
That is a huge mistake. So even though he gave a reason for why it may have happened, that does not mean it is an excuse.
No, it's an excuse. The action itself is just inexcusable. Now, speaking of someone peeing, this time down their leg, Daniel Jones. Let's talk about Daniel Jones. He's returning from an ACL injury from last year, and he got his first preseason look since tearing his ACL last year and coming back and making the recovery. He played 6 games last year, 33 QBR, 2 TDs, and 6 interceptions. He was miserable after getting a massive contract. But coming up, we have a decision. Next year, he has no guaranteed money. And in his one preseason look against the Houston Texans, here are his stats. 11 for 18, 138 yards. Oh, you're like, oh, okay, all right, not that bad. No TDs, 2 interceptions. And if you saw the first interception that led to a pick 6 for the Texans, you would be absolutely embarrassed for this guy. He was in the end zone trying to avoid a safety, flipped a throw out to the flat, to avoid the safety, right into Jalen Petrie's hand, safety for the Texans. He took it back for 6. Then he threw one down the sideline as they were approaching the red zone. Easy pick for a Texans corner, and he took it back for some yards. This guy is making decisions in year 6 that a rookie quarterback should not make in his first preseason game. That's the truth of the matter. And now that he has no more guaranteed money on that contract, I have one message for the Giants who have tried to stick by him after drafting him in 2017. This is my message to them. Or 2018, I guess. Here's my message. Cut him. Cut him. No more $35 million a year for this guy. He has no good standing in the National Football League anymore. You're not going to miss him. Move on. Before he got hurt, and even after he was able to return, Tommy DeVito looked better than him last year. I just don't understand the willingness with which they gave him the money when they did. When we look back at the Giants making the playoffs 2 years ago, I think it will go down as one of the most misplaced playoff appearances for any team in National Football League history. And when we also look at the situation that led him to getting $35 million a year. Saquon Barkley was the best running back in the National Football League. Their offensive line was one of the best run-blocking offensive lines in the National Football League. The reason Daniel Jones got paid was because Saquon Barkley made him look a whole lot better. And the Giants should be ashamed of themselves. They really should. This was embarrassing for their franchise, and he continues to roll out there and have no idea what he's doing. He doesn't seem to know what he's looking at. He cracks under pressure. One of the worst quarterbacks under pressure I have ever seen get that type of money. So, I'm sorry. It's over. And you need to start acting like it. I know you're going to roll into the season. You're going to start him. You're going to play him, which will lead to bad results. But after this year, it's done for Daniel Jones in a Giants uniform. Doesn't mean he can't be a backup anywhere. Doesn't mean that he will not be in the NFL still. But as a starting quarterback, it's officially over. I think it's been over for a couple of years now. But clearly the Giants didn't feel that way. But after watching that preseason game, I don't think I'm overreacting in the slightest. Long time coming. But you can't do that in an NFL game, especially in the preseason, when you have a year where you're going to try to compete and expect to be able to keep a job in the National Football League. Giants, get rid of them.
Year six? Jeez.
Year six, making those type of mistakes. That's tough. Saw that first pick, right?
Oh, yeah, I saw it. I saw it. I mean, how couldn't you? It was all over social media because it was so bad. You know, Malik Nabers, very, very good prospect.
Yeah.
Extremely talented. Should they have taken a quarterback?
I don't know. I don't know. Drake May seemed to be their guy, and they couldn't get him.
Well, but that was always like,
but
he's
then
not
you,
be
I mean,
there.
Also, you had Michael Penix and Bo Nix and
right. JJ McCarthy.
Other guys out there. You had a chance. I know that J.J. McCarthy was viewed disgustingly around the draft by people that cover the Giants and people that love the Giants fans. But you can't tell me after watching that first preseason game you wouldn't be happy to think about J.J. McCarthy taking over for Daniel Jones at this particular moment in time if they did decide to draft him. Just nasty stuff. Malik Nabers,
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I wish the best for him. But they need a new quarterback before I think about him being one of the premier wide receivers in the league, even though he's looked like that through camp, even with Daniel Jones throwing him the ball. Daniel Jones just makes mistakes that a sixth-year quarterback has no business making. Very,
so,
very simple.
I guess the plan would be to try to draft a quarterback in this next draft. Is it Carson Beck? Is it Sanders? Who do you think is the best option for them? Because they're going to be bad. So we know that they'll be in the running for one, at least.
Shedeur Sanders does not. Some people are going to view this, and I agree with you. I think this is just how the Giants operate. I don't see Shedeur Sanders in a New York Giants uniform. I just don't see
Quinn Ewers?
Maybe a Quinn Ewers or Carson Beck.
Carson
if they're
Beck.
That high of a pick. I could see that.
they're going to be.
But they're going to have to get somebody. And I think anybody is better than what they have right now in Daniel Jones, especially at $35 freaking million dollars a year, which we said at the time was the dumbest contract ever, but they still did it. They still did it. And know what's funny about that? As I remember talking about it when they had him sign that contract, and usually when you talk about a quarterback and you say, okay, we're going to pay him this amount of money, you're bidding against other people, even without bidding against them, right? Because you have the team control on Daniel Jones. Like, you have the opportunity to sign him back. Usually you're bidding against somebody, and somebody will say, well, if you don't pay him, somebody else is. No one was going to pay Daniel Jones that type of money. They outbid themselves. It was always dumb. It continues to be dumb, and it leaves this franchise with no hope for the next 2 years. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. And they've had a GM switch. They've had a coaching switch. I think they have a good coach. I like Brian Daboll. He's gotten skinny, too. It sort of throws me off to see him that skinny. But without that quarterback, you have no chance of competing in the National Football League. And if your quarterback's Daniel Jones, you're screwed. It's that simple. You're not going to compete at a high level. Now there's no more Saquon. Can't even think about that. They have a hellacious rebuild on their hands, and they're going to have to manage it a whole lot better than they've managed the past 5 to 6 years with Daniel Jones. Now, also, staying on the quarterback conversation, we do have Kirk Cousins' birthday. He's getting up there in age. He's old. He's very old. But I did see the Falcons released his playlist, because he's keeping the playlist going today for the Falcons at practice. And I'll be honest, I like this playlist. This is exactly what I'd think Kirk Cousins would have, but I would be rocking out. If I was on that Falcons
team. It's right down the middle for white guys our age.
Yeah, I mean, it's perfect. The Middle by Jimmy Eat World, Move Along by the All-American Rejects, Holiday by Green Day, Stacy's Mom, you could throw that one to the side. I don't need that at practice. All the Small Things by Blink-182, classic. Mr. Brightside by the Killers, that would fire me up. That would fire me up. Stereo Hearts featuring Adam Levine by the Gym Class Heroes.
Gym Class Heroes.
Then he had some Foo Fighters.
What a group.
Rounded out with Foo Fighters, Good Charlotte, a Sugar We're Going Down by Fall Out Boy.
Took over.
More, he had two All-American Rejects songs on there. That seems hard to do, but he had Dirty Little Secret, too, on top of Move Along. Okay, This Love by Maroon 5. Step too far, buddy. We're still playing football. This love.
Okay, I'm not gonna sit here. We can slander modern Maroon 5, but back then, this album specifically.
No, I'm a Maroon 5 fan.
Old Maroon 5, I'll go to bat for all day.
What's
every
the
day.
Song, Sunday?
Oh my God, dude, waking
Sunday
up.
Sunday morning rain is falling. Well, that's a banger. That's an absolute banger.
The youth don't know what it was like to wake up early before school. Like early, like 6 a.m. I would wake up sometimes, play a video game, throw on VH1 or MTV or MTV Jams, and just the music videos. Maroon 5 was in there.
I remember Mr. Brightside was way overplayed on MTV when they did the video countdown, but I didn't mind.
Fall Out Boy deserves a lot of the jokes that they get, but Sugar We're Going Down, when I was in fifth grade, it was the greatest song I'd ever heard.
Here's my take on Mr. Brightside, though. Growing up, when it first came out, didn't really like it. But as I started to age and get that nostalgia behind music like that, Mr. Brightside became just like a staple.
Well, it's one of those where if you're in a bar and you've had a few and it begins playing.
Oh, God. You can't. It's unbelievable. It's like the euphoria.
It's like the Winter Soldier activation, but for white people.
Yes. And then he did round this out with a oldie but a goodie. Just like one that I think goes under the radar way too much. One hit wonder for the most part, too. Ocean Avenue by Yellow Card.
Tremendous.
That is how he rounded out his list. And I got to say, that's well done. That's one that a lot of, even the whites out here, you don't always put your finger on that one. You don't always remember that one. That one gets lost in the shuffle a lot of the time. But Kirk Cousins made sure that was out there.
It's honestly, this would be a very good road trip playlist, too.
Yeah.
Very good road trip playlist.
Yeah. Being Atlanta, though, too, like the rap capital, hip-hop capital of the United States of America, outside of Memphis, of course, and playing all this music.
In New York.
For the Falcons, that's kind of funny, though, just to think about. Now, I do have to remind you that Robert Irwin Jewelers is the number one place to buy diamond engagement rings. And you can play some of that music after the wedding, when you get to the reception, the whole thing. But make sure you get to Robert Irwin Jewelers before that so you can actually have a wedding in place. Because you get more choices. They have a large collection of natural and lab-grown diamonds in all shapes and sizes. They make custom designing your engagement ring risk-free and easy. And you have peace of mind with a meant-to-be guarantee. You can buy your loose diamond and custom-made engagement ring at Robert Irwin Jewelers. And if you don't make it to the wedding, you have 365 days to return it. You can go get something new. If she doesn't like it, if you guys break up, you can return it and get your full refund. It is phenomenal. And they have great you know, payment packages here. You can ask her now and pay later with financing, like 24-month deferred interest, take up 60 months to pay at a low APR. They have 4 decades of experience. Robert Owen Jewelers has become a trusted name known for providing timeless treasures for generations of families. Howie and his team do a great job of making it easy for you. They no pressure at all. They really try to make it comfortable and great because they know how big of a decision this is. Now, there's 3 locations in South Haven, Bartlett, and the brand new Diamond Showroom on Perkins Extended. That's where you go find Robert Owen Jewelers, or you can go online at rijewelers.com. But bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices. Robert Owen Jewelers. We need to go ahead and grab a break. When we come back, we're going to get to small talk right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the 2024 Memphis Touchdown Club Fall Speaker Series, presented by Lander.
Here on 92.9, we talk ball every weekday from 4 till 7 p.m. Except right now, it's time for Big Man Small Talk on 92.9's Gabe Kuhn Show.
And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. Now, flag football is coming to the 2028 LA Games, Olympic Games. So I think most people are excited about that. The thought of like Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and Justin Jefferson, all these NFL superstars teaming up to go play flag football and whoop up on the world, add to the gold medal count for the United States of America. I think everybody is excited to see that. Except for one guy that spoke to The Guardian over the weekend. And it would be Daryl Doucette. He is the current U.S. flag football quarterback as of right this second. And he told The Guardian, I think it's disrespectful that they just automatically assume that they're able to just join the Olympic team because of the person that they are. They didn't help grow this game to get to the Olympics. All right, Daryl, yes, they did. Football is football. I know flag football is different. But 7-on-7 is massive. Those guys participate in 7-on-7s all the time. A lot of them, like, you know, you look at like Cam Newton, a lot of these other guys that are still, you know, out of the NFL, still in the NFL, they run their own 7-on-7 camps. They have their own leagues. So they have tried to get involved in things like this over the years. But football is football. They have grown the game of football to get it to where it's at. And also, the other thing I'd say to him is, Daryl, I don't know if they just assume there's going to be a tryout. Like, they have to, you know, run out there. But the truth of the matter is, if Patrick Mahomes tries out for this team against you, Daryl, who's the incumbent, he's going to beat you. You're 5'8", 140 pounds. You don't necessarily have the arm of Patrick Mahomes. He may know the game a little bit better than you. He can place the ball a whole lot better. He played college and NFL, you know, NFL football. I think he'll beat you out. It doesn't necessarily mean that they automatically think they're going to be on the team just because of their name. I do think that they would win a position battle against you, though, at 5'8", 140 pounds. I just don't understand his thought process here. I think it's just sour grapes because he knows that he's helped grow this game and now somebody else is going to take in and bring it to better heights. But also, with growing the game, Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, all these NFL superstars playing in a flag football game in the Olympics, that's growing the game tenfold of what you've ever been able to accomplish, Daryl. No offense to you. They just have bigger names. They're superstars that we latch onto. We have their jerseys. They're going to make this game go into hyperspeed when they're able to compete in the 2028 Olympics. So disagree with everything he had to say. I know it's sour grapes, though.
We have to avoid a 3-on-3 situation. And to do that, if the NFL players want to play, they will be playing.
They want to play.
I am sorry. I do not care.
They
want to play.
They enjoy it.
We will bury them. Yeah. It already hurts to lose basketball, to not have a gold in anything basketball. Football, get the hell out of the way.
Yes.
Ain't no way we letting people beat us in football.
I am not.
Get the hell out of the way.
I don't need a 5'8", 140-pound
You can be the backup to the backup and still get a gold. Now shut up.
Yeah. Do the Tyrese Halliburton thing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Ace the group project and do nothing. It's fine. Just stay to the side. But him saying they didn't help grow the game, okay. Are we really going to separate flag football from regular football right now? And it's not, I mean, come on. It's just foolish. It's full of stuff. But he's sad. He knows that his time as the U.S. flag football quarterback is coming close to an end. But let's go ahead and get into hour number three, and we'll start it off with our first edition of the conversation we have with the Associate Executive Director of the AutoZone Liberty Bowl, Harold Grader. We'll talk college football. We'll talk Week Zero. We'll talk Tigers, Vols, Ole Miss. So make sure you stick around.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.